Welcome to Connect with Causeway. I'm your host, Therese Mulvey, Vice President of Strategy and Insights at Causeway Solutions. I am really excited today to be joined by two experts who are going to talk about senior living, a growing phenomenon which impacts a huge number of people, whether it be for them or for a loved one. For example, there's 11,000 boomers retiring daily, and the number will just continue to increase. And obviously, this huge generation is also continuing to age despite their most valiant efforts. This steady growth necessitates an exponential increase in qualified caretakers, assisted living facilities, and healthcare services. There are so many facets to this category. Senior living represents so much, so many decisions, quality of care, options, who's making the decision, the list goes on. So this is one of the many reasons we are so really excited and honored to talk about this topic with senior living expert Bobby Youngs of Canopy Advertising. Let me give you a little background on Bobby, and then I will hand it over to him. Bobby is Canopy's founder and serves as director of creative strategy. He brings in-depth advertising and media planning experiences to each campaign. Bobby's diverse professional background spans multiple disciplines. Throughout his career, he has led creative production, sales, and advertising operations for various media groups and is widely sought after as a consultant and subject matter expert. Bobby sums up his perspective in direct terms. Advertising technology and its targeting sophistication are fascinating, but it's still important to keep core advertising principles in mind and how strategic thinking can maximize each opportunity. And you know what, Bobby, I cannot agree with you more. I'm so happy to lead into you with that really important quote. So welcome, Bobby.
Thank you, Therese. I'm glad to be here. It's an honor.
And speaking of marketing and advertising, the other side of this topic is how do we reach these people, whether it's the decision maker or the person that is using senior living, and exactly what do we need to say? Helping us to understand that aspect is my colleague and frequent Connect with Causeway guest, Tim Duer. Tim is our Vice President of Healthcare and Enterprise Insights. He's been integral in developing solutions and insight for the healthcare segment by using our proprietary analysis to develop targeted healthcare audiences for Causeway Solutions and for our clients. Tim utilizes his balanced background of hands-on clinical care. He is my own personal physical therapist when needed, and business understanding to develop novel approaches to the rapidly evolving healthcare marketplace. Welcome, Tim.
Great to be back. I feel like I got the fancy intro today with Bobby present. So it's great to be here, and I love talking about when I get to connect healthcare.
Well, we have to be on our best. Well, my job is actually really pretty easy today and pretty much over. Because I know these two guys and they have a lot to talk about and need very little prodding. With that being said, I will start with a question and the two of you can let our listeners know what your perspective is. So we know that senior living targets primarily two key audiences, the senior and the family or significant other of that senior. My question is traditional marketing working for both of those audiences? And if not, what do you think needs to change? And I'm going to start with you, Bobby.
Yeah, great question. So we have been in the senior living marketing industry, so to speak, for the last 5 to 6 years. And I would say in one sense, yes, it is working. Traditional media, whether it be digital or analog media, it does work. And from our point of view, it's really not about making it work when it's broken, but just making it better. And one of the really fascinating things about being, you know, a specialist in online marketing to the senior living industry is that, you know, if you think about it, you know, 15 years ago, an online media strategy for senior living industry was kind of quaint. I mean, the end user you're trying to reach, which would be like an adult caregiver, for example, who is typically 55 years or older, or the, you know, the potential occupant themselves, the senior who could be 72 and older, they really just weren't available as a digital audience yet. Also, the technology we had, as far as, you know, the ubiquitous cell phone that everyone's walking around with in their pocket, the time spent, you know, consuming media online, just really for that demographic and that age range was not really prevalent yet. And quite frankly, the technology wasn't that sophisticated to target them as well as it is now.
Exactly.
You know, it's a happy confluence of events. We have the baby boomers that are aging at just this opportune time, and they're demographically the same age as people that retired 30, 40, 50 years ago, but you know, really emotionally and spiritually and mentally, they're younger.
Right.
At 72 years old, they're living vivacious, really incredible lives. They're super connected with technology. They're streaming video content. They're walking around with their cell phone. They're FaceTiming with their grandkids. I mean, they're really in tune with what's going on. I mean, in fact, I had this really crazy experience with a client about 3 or 4 years ago. He was actually not in senior living. He was in the housing industry. And I found out through this phone call, he calls me up. He goes, "Bobby, you're never going to believe what I have. I have 2 extra tickets to the Yanni concert." And my wife and I are like, the idea of going in our late 40s, like Yanni, like in the world, right? And Yanni was he and his wife's favorite. They like went, they would travel around the country to see Yanni, all over the world, actually, to go see Yanni performance, right? And he invited us. It was a big deal. It's so great. The whole point of that was, is that what was fascinating was, this is 3 or 4 years ago, we're in the auditorium, and it was predominantly women who, many had blue hair, many clearly over 75 years old, all with their cell phones up like they were at a Taylor Swift concert. They had pictures of Yanni. You could see it was their home screen. They were taking pictures and video of it. You would have thought they're 18. It was amazing. And I'm thinking to myself, man, what has changed in this space? Seniors are really embracing this technology. Anyway, so there's just the audience is huge. The demand for senior living is absolutely huge in the industry for occupancy for these people, this population. The money, the income people have to invest in these and to pursue senior living is great. And the opportunity to reach them through digital channels is all happening kind of at this really interesting time in history.
You know, I haven't thought of Yanni in a long time, but it really made me smile.
Hey, by the way, it was really amazing. I just want to say that right now. It was
quite all right. Well, Therese, do I need to follow up the Yanni story with my approach to this?
Good luck with that, Tim.
Yeah. Honestly, Bobby, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think we do know, generally speaking, who the audience is. You know, as you said, seniors of who the potential residents of an assisted living facility or an independent living facility. The age hasn't changed. You're still talking to people 72 plus, you know, for instance, and the adult caregiver still hasn't changed. And I think honestly, from my perspective, in so many ways, we're still living off of a, you know, you could call it a marketing persona, but really it's a stereotype. And I think that's exactly what you just described there, that in so many ways, people are still holding on to, oh, we've got to go to purely print. That's the only thing that'll work for this audience. And not saying print doesn't have its space, and I'm sure we'll get to that later. But there's this thought of you can't go digital to an older audience. And I love what you brought up there because, you know, that's the way I've been looking at this all along. The audience is broader than you realize. And they have so many unique characteristics. And if you don't take advantage of that, you're really missing out on some opportunity here. Wow. I've had the benefit of firsthand, or I guess secondhand knowledge of, my wife works in the space personally. She's a physical therapist specializing in geriatrics and neurology, and works, you know, between subacute facilities. And now for probably the last 15 years, she's been in a continual care community. And, you know, knowing what she's seeing, she tells me stories of, you'd be amazed. You walk in and, you know, these people 95 years old and they're still walking their dog and they've got all these things going on. And that's just not what the culturally what we've caught up with yet. And I think you're hitting the nail on the head that marketing has the opportunity here to be kind of on the front runner of how do we connect with this audience in a new, better way and not rely on these old stereotypes in so many fashions.
And just to piggyback on that, Tim, another thing's kind of interesting is that if you think about the life event, if you will, that would create an impetus for someone to need senior living, whether it be assisted living or memory care or skilled nursing now, or, you know, hey, you know, we want to downsize, we want to travel the world, we don't want to take care of a home, we want to find a really cool, awesome, independent living community, have friends, we're moving to Florida now. It's a lifestyle choice, right? People generally start this shopping process, if you will. It's not like buying a car every 3 or 4 years. You know, it's a one time in life that you actually start thinking about this. I'm not even thinking about this now. I'm 51. It's not something that's really on my radar yet. I'm not thinking about that for my father yet. But when that event happens where you start thinking about it, you have to educate yourself. It's just a huge, amazing, it's a life-changing decision you're about to make, right? It's a massive financial commitment. I mean, you're moving to a place, you're becoming a resident, you're caring for a loved one. It's a massive event. And so when people are faced with these big paradigm shifting events in their life, they tend to take a lot of time to think about it, and they ask a lot of questions, and they do a lot of research. They spend all, and then, you know, where do people do research these days? I mean, everyone goes online. I mean, Google is a verb, right? I mean, let me Google that.
Right.
And everybody knows I can go to my computer and I can in my own time and read as much information and watch as many videos as I want to about, can I afford this? When should I be thinking about this? What should I be looking for? You know, what are all the options are, right? So they spend so much time in kind of that research and consideration phase, right? And one of the really beautiful but sometimes spooky things about online marketing is that time spent online creates all this data about these kind of digital breadcrumbs, these intention signals that people are giving off based on the content they're reading and the websites they're visiting. To your technology, Tim, the surveys they're filling out, that kind of behavior that indicates they're in the market, right? So it's kind of, to your point, kind of a perfect Venn diagram of all these kind of things happening right now to where, you know, we can really employ the old advertising chestnut of, you know, it's the right message to the right people at the right time. That'll never change, no matter how technologically savvy or AI we get. That's still the bedrock of really great advertising.
And Tim, don't you think to a certain extent, just that variety of audience, you know, it's not just the kind of care that you need, but it's also what you like, or, you know, does a health event make you all of a sudden looking for a different thing, or, you know, all the different options there are now for a senior living situation. I would think that really leads into some of the work that we do with all of our targeting.
No, absolutely, Therese. And I think, as Bobby was saying, you know, there's so many more opportunities, especially when you start employing digital advertising and digital marketing. Well, now all of a sudden you can wait for the SEO and you can start pulling them in there. And really what I've been most excited about in kind of some of the work I've been doing in this space is how do we improve that top of funnel conversation? You know, how do you identify that audience before they start searching the internet? Because, you know, in so many instances, when it comes to senior living decisions, a lot of times it feels like a forced decision. You have an illness, you have something that occurs where all of a sudden an assisted living decision has to be made. But the reality is the funnel can start sooner. And honestly, that's what I've been seeing more and more of. We can now start constructing audiences that aren't just that stereotype again as a segment. It's traditional marketing would have said top of funnel for this audience is purely based on age. And as Bobby said, it's, are you old enough to say you're the target, or are you in this age where we're going to guess that you have a parent that's the target? Therefore, that's the audience. You know, income is typically used here, right? Is to make a demographic cut of if you can find somebody's income, depending on the facility, where do they fall of being able to afford the care potentially or not? And then geography. And that was the segments. I mean, Bobby, I'd love to hear your thoughts of having a little more experience in space, but in so many crossovers I've had, that is what they consider the market segment: age, income, geography. And if you're not in an advanced audience conversation, that's pretty much where it stops, right? That's the audience they're reaching out to. I mean, how have you seen that in the past, and how do you see it evolving now?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you've hit the nail on the head. We have been successful with that, what I would call foundational demographic targeting, right? Age, income, address, location, that sort of thing. It's really important. The kinds of filters you would use to create like a direct mail campaign. It's really, really smart, right? And that is effective. And I remember, Tim, us meeting at Argentum, and you were speaking, talking about the nuances of the audiences you were able to create, you know? And you know, it's funny. I don't know if there's actually a term for this or not. You know, we've never actually talked about this, but I describe it as kind of a psychodemographic. It's the not only the who, but now we're able to further refine the who audience that we start with, you know, the people in the market. These are their addresses. This is the age range. This is the relationship to the potential occupant. But now we can get the who, but now we can get kind of the why, right? It's the opportunity to do what mass media doesn't do, which is go big and large. Like, the more mass we can reach with a message, the better, right? Well, what we want to see, and this is what Causeway really helps us think through, is in an ideal world, if I could get down to one individual and know that that individual wanted to hear the message this certain way, like Bobby, you know, Bobby Youngs was my target out there. If I could deliver an ad so custom to Bobby Youngs, right, that would be the perfect scenario. I really could get right to his motivation. What's he really looking for? And those sorts of things. And we can't do that. But we can, through kind of that psychodemographic targeting, understanding someone's motivations. What are they interested in? What's going to motivate them and move them to make a decision? What's going to impel them to click on that ad other than just being my target? Then I'm actually able to have a smaller audience, and with my client's budget, increase the actual impression share onto that smaller audience, serve them more ads that are much more custom. You know, a lot of people, my kids and wife, this is funny. So I've been advertising all my life. I love advertising. I'm just, there's something that's really interesting about art that motivates people to action. I just think it's really cool. And we'll be watching television stuff, and there'll be fast-forwarding commercials. They'll get annoyed when there's a commercial break. I'm like, hey guys, you know, that like puts food on your floor. Like, we wouldn't even get to enjoy a Super Bowl if it wasn't for people buying ads, right? I mean, advertising makes all these things work. All these really cool phones that we get to walk around with and have basically this supercomputer in our pocket, it exists because there's some way for marketers to sell ads on this. So, you know, hey, thank an advertiser, right? We need to have like an advertiser. Advertisers to holiday, don't we? Like, just like veterans out there, we like thank a veteran for like defending our country. We should have like a thank somebody in marketing for making capitalism work. I don't know if we're appreciated enough, Tim.
And we could do it a advertising appreciation day. Hallmark might jump on board. Yeah.
We get to enjoy all these wonderful things in life because we market them, right? But like in my mind, it's like the potential future of advertising is that it's not annoying and it doesn't feel like it's interrupting you, but it's actually like a real value benefit to your life. You know, you're on the way to go get lunch somewhere, and the world we live in understands your patterns and where you're going and can track that and says, I'm going to send you a coupon. Like, hey, I know you're going to Chick-fil-A, but right across the street is a Kubota Mexican place. And if you'll go there instead, we're going to give you a free burrito for trying us today. Like that would be like, I'd be awesome. I mean, that would really, I got a free lunch and I got this great ad. I tried this business out, but it was so customized that every ad was really helpful in my life and made my life more meaningful. I think that's the potential of where we're going. I know we're on kind of the forefront of that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's it. People, I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I know I've talked about it before. If people now have come to expect personalized advertising, that right. is the expectation now, and something that gets delivered to you that feels like it was amiss, actually, there's been studies showing people almost feel insulted by that in many senses. Right. If you don't know me, if you're sending me this.
Right.
So Bobby, I think you teed it up exactly. I mean, that's the way I look at all of this. And maybe Therese, we can put a show note in here. I don't want to go through the whole modeling background and the details of predictive analytics again, for those that have listened to our previous episodes. But I mean, that's what drives me here is the idea of promoting value. You know, when I was a clinician, value meant value-based care. And now I look at it as there's still value in what we're doing to make it better for any client we're working with. And so in short, what you're describing, Bobby, is exactly what we're trying to do all the time of how do we predict somebody's likelihood of taking an action or predict their likelihood of holding a belief so that we can be much more personalized in our touch points, be much more personalized in how you deliver that message, as opposed to just saying, well, you fell in the age bracket and it looks like you might have the right income, so now we're going to reach out to you. And once we start adding those predictive aspects to things, like you said, the funnel gets smaller and smaller. And yeah, it might not be a sample size of N equals one, but if we can take it from N equals 100,000 people in a region to here's the best 50,000, like you said, I mean, now you're talking about doubling your frequency of touches because you have half the number of people to touch. You've That's already right. identified there's 50% of the audience isn't really applicable to what I'm trying to promote or what the conversation I'm trying to have. And once you do that, that's value. Maybe you have the same ad spend. The budget might not change, but you just doubled your frequency of touch points to that audience. And that, as you know, I mean, that's your world more than mine, but that's gold. You know, now you're not trying to have two contacts, you have four contacts. Well, that might be what it takes to move the needle when it comes to somebody's potential as an audience member here.
Yeah. Well, and it's not just efficiency. I mean, it is efficiency for the client, which is obviously really important. But in some ways, to your point earlier, Bobby, it's efficiency for the consumer. Mm-hmm. Because you do want those messages and you do want that information that is the information you're looking for. I think when advertising is the most annoying is when it isn't relative to you. You know, when you, not so much anymore, but you used to see ads for restaurants that were like, you know, 100 miles away. And it's like, okay, if I have to watch this and I can't go, then that's kind of a double annoyance. But I think almost every episode we talk about the fact that people complain about targeting, but ultimately they totally want it. And they have for years. It's just we've gotten so much better at it that we can really provide things to the right audiences that we couldn't in the past. And in this topic, which I think, you know, is so important for the two of you to be talking about, is that there are so many assumptions made that if you get beyond those and see how much information there is on this market, there are lots and lots of choices being made and lots of different targets that do want to hear these different messages.
Yeah, for sure.
So one of the things, Bobby, you know, we've been talking about audiences, and I really live in that idea of how do we develop advanced audiences that are smart, that are predictive and prescriptive about who any client should be speaking to, you know, in any industry. But really, I think something you get overlooked sometimes is while we're digital centric so far in a lot of what we've been talking about, it's really important to me to note that, you know, once we develop the audience, it really becomes a multimedia approach. And maybe it is a direct mail campaign that, again, if we've shrunk the audience size, you can get much more bang for your buck. And whether that's a more advanced, you know, material being delivered or more frequency, whatever it is. But how do you, from your perspective, because again, I don't live in this part of the world, but how do you handle that of making sure it is multimedia and, you know, given the audience?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say, Tim, that's one of the biggest challenges of marketing. The other old chestnut that people have heard, you know, expressed, gosh, this is probably back from like the late 1800s, is half my advertising works, but I just don't know which half it is, right? I mean, there's just this idea that I've got five different channels. Some are print, you know, analog channels, you know, radio, TV, print, cable, outdoor, those kinds of things. And then I've got all this digital stuff online and I'm getting results, but how do I attribute the result directly to a particular campaign, right? And I think that is kind of like that's the gold ring of all marketing agencies is attribution. You know, did that click generate a sale or did somebody move in because they saw this display ad on this website? And there are things that we do to track attribution between analog and digital space. And we can see a lot of correlation through tracking online results, KPIs that clients would use, like a phone call is generated or there's a form field filled out. We can also track a physical conversion. You know, we can track a mobile device that we've targeted with an ad. Does that mobile device actually show up on a client's property? So there's kind of a physical conversion that we can even track. And we can track those things. And we can see correlations between those conversions and events such as ad targeting online. And we can actually connect the dots between that targeting and offline events, like an ad running in the New York Times. What is that? How does that produce website traffic? Things like that, right? So we're always trying to put those things together. The best campaigns, I think, are cohesive in the sense that there's a project manager, typically a marketing director, who says, okay, here are all the different channels by which we're going to try to reach the audience. Okay. So, you know, we've identified the audience and we want that audience to see our message from a myriad of mediums, whether it be outdoor, digital, pay-per-click, whatever it might be, radio ads. The more of that you can do, all to the right audience, right? Right message, right people, the right time. The worst case scenario is you're increasing brand awareness. And that's a fabulous thing to do, right? And so, you know, in my space in senior living, we just don't know when that life event is going to occur to the person who's a certain age, even though we know we're targeting them because of the right age, the right income to afford the facility. And we've even gone down further and gotten that psychodemographic target. They're really motivated by luxury, right? But we just don't know when that individual that we've identified is going to experience a life event where they're now in the market for that service. We just don't know exactly when that's going to happen, right? But we want to be top of mind when it does occur, right? So the more mediums we can have working together, that's kind of our strategy. And it really just takes a great marketing director who can get all the different vendors, whether it be us and the newspaper company and the radio advertiser, all working on the same page to where they're all working cohesively together to create that top of mind awareness for when that event happens. Does that kind of answer your question about how kind of we approach that?
No, I think that's exactly right. I mean, and really the key to me is, again, from my standpoint, it's if you have the right audience at the table and you have the right audience determined for who is your target, then it really opens up those doors of now you can go any direction you want. And really, so Bobby alluded to it before that he and I first met around this time last year, give or take, at the Argentum Senior Living Executive Conference. And I was presenting on the idea of just what are predictive analytics? How could data play a role in the future of marketing in the senior living space? And we'd really just started introducing a couple of the modeled audiences we were creating. And now, honestly, we've really expanded by leaps and bounds of, you know, modeling audiences of what is their potential motivator to pursue a senior living facility. And more importantly, sometimes what is their potential barrier to that? And actually, one of the more exciting ones is not just who's favorable or unfavorable of senior living as an industry, but the one that I really think is pretty interesting is right now we just finished creating who's a decision maker for another adult, which is a really tough piece to come around with. Like, and as Bobby said earlier, it used to just be, well, if you're somewhere between 40 and 70, let's send you some messages about mom and dad because you might be in that situation. And what we found actually is we identified about 20% of the country, give or take, that fell into that bucket. And most of them are baby boomers, you know, as you would expect. And again, you know, sometimes that persona is not wrong. But we also learned is that there's a good chunk of people out there that are Gen Z or millennials that are falling into that category that might possibly be the fringe targets that are kind of forgotten about. And I love the idea that if we generate that kind of an audience, then how you reach them becomes the decision of the agencies or the client. Anyone else can figure out how they want to do it, but now they've got opportunity. And that's really what I'm loving that we're getting to do right now of take that gigantic segment that was just demographic only and start putting in some of these other conversation pieces. And how do you narrow it down to then let others run with it? Because you're right, you don't know when that life event's going to occur. And you also don't know when somebody decides on their own. And so you've got to have a high frequency and really keep the marketing churn going in this space because you never know when somebody's going to make this decision. But again, if we add more value, all of a sudden now you know who you're speaking to and who you're likely to exclude from your message.
Well, it's just such a deep, you know, well of information as well. It's really interesting to see some of the things that we've been developing, but also just see it happening in life, you know, just hearing from different people and experiencing different friends and family and how this, it does impact such a huge percentage of the people in some way or another, but, and again, not the same to every person. Well, I think we're just about out of time. Before I wrap this up, Bobby, Tim, anything else you need to share before we let this audience go?
No, thanks for having me. You know, and hey, just go out one day when you're enjoying all these wonderful things. It's also great technology, this wonderful, in the capitalist environment we live in. Hey, you know, take a moment and think an advertiser. You know, they could use a pat on the back.
I love that. I used to always say to my children, it's not direct mail. It's not junk mail. It's your college fund.
Amen.
Tim?
No, I think we covered it. I loved getting to just bounce some ideas back and forth. Again, it's been over the last year, it's been great chatting with Bobby and his team and really seeing how we can connect in the past and keep moving forward. So no, this has been a great chat.
Awesome. Well, it was really fascinating discussion. And again, thanks for doing my job for me here. You guys were really, really easy to talk to, and it was a lot of fun. I feel like I learned something. And obviously, we're also just kind of touching the tip of the iceberg in terms of the amount of information and evolution and opportunity there is in this topic of senior living. Just as a little ad, speaking of how much we love advertising, we're digging a little deeper into this topic at the Argentum Senior Living Executive Conference in Phoenix this year. On the afternoon of April 30th, Bobby and Tim will be on a panel live. So you think this was great, that'll be even better. The name of our panel is Navigating the Challenges and Opportunities of Ethical Marketing in the Age of AI and Predictive Analytics. And that is a mouthful, but I know that it will also be a really great session of information and insight. So once again, thank you both so much. It was great to have you here, Bobby. Tim, I know you'll be back. For our listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of Connect with Causeway. Please subscribe to the podcast and tune in again for our next episode in May.